is happy when he stretches his arms for the very first time. He was filled with hope, because the very moment when he stretches out to create the first man on earth, and then he breathed into his nostrils, and Adam was made being a living being. So when God looked at the very first human being that he created, it is like watching his own son coming into being. For Adam possessed all the goodness of God. Indeed, God was very pleased with Adam. So God and Adam had a very wonderful relationship. It was the first time God held out his arms. But when God stretched out his arms the second time, what was the situation? It wasn't very good. For the second time, when he stretched out his arms, it was the time that he made with his own hands garments for Adam and Eve. And this time, his feelings were very painful, because he was about to banish his own children from the Garden of Eden. Because his own children, those that he made, have sinned. So when he made those leather garments for the children as a sign to cover up their sins, his heart was filled with pain. So what do we see here? So here, this brought us to an inevitable fact that God loved Adam deeply, yet man has hurt God tremendously. Today's title is When God Stretches His Arms. Next, to any one of any other children of God, when our life is mature spiritually, all of us will be able to feel the pain and joy in God's heart, especially through the stretching out of his arms toward us. We can feel the deep pain or the joy in his heart. The Apostle Paul was someone who had a very deep relationship with God. For that reason, he preached often about Jesus Christ and his cross. At the same time, Paul mentioned in chapter 10 of Romans that the gospel is for all the people. So he admonished the Israelites not to be conceited. They should not feel superior just because they were the chosen race. Paul told them, this is not right. Because the gospel that Paul preached, whether to the Jews or the Gentiles, everyone must confess and repent of their sins. At the same time, everybody is the same. And it is only through the cross of Jesus Christ that they may be saved and have redemption. Therefore, whether in the church, whether Gentiles or Jews, there's only true unity when they have saved and with redemption through the cross. So with this background in mind, so when we read verse 13, it will be very clear to us. Let me read to you Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then following that, Paul quoted Isaiah to enforce the importance of evangelism. Psalm 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So this is so important of the sharing the gospel, and also the honor of an evangelist. So therefore, for those who are willing to share the gospel from heaven, it is such an honorable mission to preach the good news. So I sincerely believe, and I believe that many of us, we are all very eager to share the gospel. And I'm sure you have this experience. But sometimes we are faced with obstacles, with difficulties, and then we become weak in our will. I'm sure you have the same experience too, including myself. But there's one important thing. Let us not remain at the ebb of our spiritual life. Instead, Let us trust in the Lord to rebound. We must try our very best to come back. Now, the situation nowadays is really a tumultuous time. The entire world is also not peaceful. Whether it's the pandemic, or whether it's the economy, or whether it's politics. So sometimes we wonder what's going on in the world. So a lot of men are questioning themselves. But dear brothers and sisters, the more dangerous time is, the more it is the opportunity for us to share the gospel. But man is living in the midst of panic. They lack a true sense of peace. Because man is trying to look for a place that they can hide, they can really depend on. They are looking for truth, a God. I always encourage everybody, as well as myself, if this is not the time to share the gospel, when is the time? Yeah, we must take the opportunity. If not now, when must we go out and share the gospel? We also have experience that way. Yeah, sometimes when we try to share the gospel with our family and our loved ones, sometimes they refuse to listen. They just don't want to hear. And sometimes we have heated arguments. So if we continue to share with them, our relationship with them may be jeopardized. So what do we do? So a lot of us who face that kind of situation gave up. Well, may I suggest you temporarily put it down. Change the subject of your conversation. Yeah, talk about the food that you share together. Talk about things that you is common to both of you. And just pause and do not share the gospel for the moment. But your prayer, you must not cease in your prayer. Wait for God's timing to share the gospel again. Please do not never give up. Because if you do that, you fall into the trap of the devil. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 10, verse 16. Here it says, but not everyone has obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah asked. Here, Paul has referred to the prophet Isaiah, Lord, who has believed our word? Yeah, but not all the Israelites accept the good. Yeah, let's take a look at, let's concentrate on verse 16. So when Paul said that he even referred to the prophet Isaiah to strengthen his teaching. So what can we learn from him? Yeah, there are times when we are faced with rejection from our friends, the families. And sometimes rejection may not be a bad thing, because it helps us to be mature and it strengthens us. So let us patiently wait for the good timing so that we may continue to share, so that we wait upon the right timing to share the gospel. So through our past experience, we must never give up. We must never. Until the day we meet our Lord again, we must never give up. Never, never give up. Especially with your family members, your loved ones, your friends. Even only when we do not give up, they will have the opportunity to hear the gospel. Because if Christians give up sharing the gospel, the devil will have victory. So let us bear this in mind. God's teaching in the book of Romans is telling us to continue, and it is on our heart, so that we continue to share the gospel ahead of us. May the Lord help all of us. And we must use all methods and little bit by little bit sow the seeds of the gospel. Sowing the seeds of the gospel is the number one. But we all know that Jesus gave a good example. Someone went out and sowed some seeds. And some sow on good soil, some on sand, some got on rocks. And lastly, someone good on good soil. May I ask, sowing the seeds, isn't that the very first most important thing to do? If there's no one who sows the seeds, who is going to water the seeds? So someone needs to sow the seeds of the gospel, so that someone else may go and water them, to nurture them, that they may grow. So let us be the one who sow the gospel seeds, so they will have the opportunity. And we stay on, and let's continue to be the sower of the gospel seeds. So if you have not done that in the year 2020, may I ask you, in the year 2021, make yourself promise to come before the Lord and promise you will be the sower of the gospel seeds. So use all the methods you can use to share the gospel. Are these seeds of the gospel? Share, sow, and in the hearts of your friends. Then what else do we see? Let's take a look at verses 17 and 18. Verse 17 says, consequently, faith results from listening, and listening from, and have they not heard? Did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. So we have to go back to the context, the background of Paul's time. So over there, Paul simply put, Jews cannot claim ignorance as the reason for their failure to understand God's word. That was a weak excuse. So Paul uncovered their lies, because they were making excuses in order to reject the gospel. Actually, it's okay if someone refuses to believe out of their own free will. But if someone places the blame of their unbelief on others, and shed their responsibility on others and even upon God, then they are magnifying the problem. So let us continue to read verses 19 through 21. Verses 19. Again, I ask, did Israel not understand? Moses was the first to say, I will make you jealous by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that doesn't understand. So Paul was drawing from the words of Moses to refer to some similar situations. Let's talk about God. It was written to God saying that I have given them the words, but they refused to listen. And especially verse 21 points out to us. But about Israel, he says, God says, all day long, I is written to God. God have held up my hands to a disobedient and rebellious people. God says, the whole day, I have stretched out my hands to these people, to my people, but they are the rebellious people. You see, God, here we see God for all the time trying to stretch out his arms to call his own people who were disobedient and rebellious. Can you empathize with that situation? Well, to a lot of parents, speaking to the parents among us, if your child is very obstinate, how would you feel? Oh, these kids are so obstinate, so disobedient. How are we going to take care of them? We would love them to be studious in their studies, but yet they are so disobedient, they refuse to listen to us. It really feels angry, isn't it? And for those parents who are angry and strong-tempered, they will even throw them out, cut off their financial support. And sometimes they remain incommunicado. For those parents who take a softer approach, may even end up in depression themselves. All these feelings of pain, anger, helplessness, all these negative feelings intertwine inside your hearts. How does that feel? I tell you, tragedies like this happen all the time. What tragedy among mankind. As parents today, I bet most parents will have this similar situation. What more, our Heavenly Father? For He has already given us His one and only Son. But what did He get in return? What did God? Is a disobedient and obstinate people. Now the following, what do you think? Will God keep on holding out his hands toward us, waiting for us to repent? Waiting for us to come back to him? The answer to that question is no. No. God will not continually wait. Well, some may argue that where there is no way out, He will make a way. But I beg to differ. At the end of God's patience is man's destruction. At the end of God's patience is man's destruction. Because during the time, God will stretch His arms out, His arms of judgment. So God doesn't mean that God has a deadline. God patiently waits for us to repent and return to Him. But the answer is He will not forever wait. And all of us need to understand, God really does not want to be that way. But we do not give him a choice. My dear friends, are you aware that God wants to embrace us? Are you willing to be embraced? Also, even our own brothers and sisters, do we really treasure His outstretched arms toward us? His outstretched arms until He went on the cross and to be crucified. Do we really treasure that out of the depth of our hearts? Let's look at Matthew chapter 8. I'm sure we all remember this parable. There was a leper who came to Jesus for help. Now, leprosy is a very contagious disease in those days. Chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. When Jesus came down from the hillside, large crowds followed him. Suddenly, a leper came up to him. And then, Amen. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Just reach out his hand and touch the man. I will, he said, be clean. And immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. I'm sure. And so when Jesus stretched his arm, he did not turn on, give the leper a cold shoulder. Instead, Jesus reached out his hands to touch him. He touched that man, and the man was healed. Not only was his sickness healed, just imagine how he felt in the depth of his heart. He must have felt deeply loved by the Lord. Just like the children would love to be hugged by their parents. Yeah, even my own daughter is now in her mid-20s. And yet when we saw her, we hugged her and we hugged one another. We love another. What I'm trying to express is when the Lord touched his hands on the leper, not only he healed the person, the leper's heart has also been saved. He can feel the love and the warmth of the Lord Jesus. And let us also look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 to 29. Let's read verse 27. As Jesus was traveling on from there, two blind men followed him, shouting, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind man came to him and asked, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Let's take a look at verse 29. Then he touched their eyes and said, "Jesus, touch their eyes. According to your faith, let it be done to you." So I want you to look at Jesus in action. Jesus stretched his arms and touched their eyes. Can you feel that very moment when the Lord reach out with his arms to touch them with mercy and love? Let's take a look. And also another example is found in Matthew chapter 14, verses 31. And I'm sure you are also familiar with this parable. It is when Peter saw the Lord Jesus walking on water. Well, Peter was one who took action immediately. He's a very brave person. So when he saw Jesus walking on the water, he immediately followed suit. He also jumped into the water and walked on water. And he was elated, he was excited. moment his sight turned from Jesus to the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink. So he was fearful, and that causes his faith to fall, and he began to sink into the water. But the same thing with us too. Sometimes when we see something that we are fearful, our faith, we will lose our faith. So Peter's faith sank, and he sank into the water. Then he immediately cried out to Jesus for help. Jesus, help me! And his first response was to shout to the Lord for help. And we can see that in verse 31. Let's read 31. At once, Jesus reached out his hand, caught him, and asked him, "You who have so little faith, why did you doubt?" Jesus could just say, "Peter, come out of the water." Yeah, Jesus didn't care. He can even order him to fly above the water. But what was Jesus' response? He immediately reached out with his hands, grabbed his hand, and pulled out Peter from the water. So what do we see here? Jesus reached out with a pair of saving hands. Also, it is a pair of healing hands, a pair of guiding hands, a pair of comforting hands, a pair of guiding hands, and a pair of strengthening hands. God enjoys blessing our lives. He is our help in times of trouble. So during the time, let us reach out to God's hand. Because, as he says in Psalms, the Lord is our help in the times of trouble. So indeed, we need his hands in guidance. We need his hand in support. We need his hand in comforting our hearts. Because the Lord says that he is here to seek for those who are lost. Our Lord is one who will take the initiative to reach out with his arms to look for those who are in need, which is the main difference between among other religions. Our God is one who takes the initiative to come to this world to reach out, to help, to strengthen all those people. Let us try to experience that kind of love from our Lord. However, if mankind choose to disobey, if we choose to disobedient people, his hand will become that of handing out judgment. One day, all the wicked people will face God's righteous judgment. They will be judged. So we need to praise and thank God. Please do not understand. We are not saying that when people receive judgment, we are happy. That's not what I mean. Because from Old Testament time until the New Testament time, God is a righteous God to those who have been oppressed. He has once said, "It is mine to revenge, I will repay." Even the Chinese have a similar idiom. That's how it says this way: when the time comes, you will reap what you sow. So time will tell. So no matter how wicked the people are, one day they will face the righteous judgment of God. It's just a matter of time. They will be judged. If you remember Sodom and Gomorrah, and a lot of places mentioned in the Bible, when the wicked have become so wickedly evil, when their wickedness reaches the eye of the Lord, God will come and punish them right away. So let us remind one another. Let us wait upon the time of God. To wait upon means does not mean that we sit there and do nothing. Waiting means we need to be equipped while waiting. And we need to do what we are supposed to do. So those people who lie, those who use their hands to do unjust things, one day they will receive God. They will face the righteous judgment of God. Now let us look at Daniel chapter 10, verse 10. As we verse 10, a river of fire flowed out from before him. Thousands upon thousands were serving him, millions upon millions waiting before him. The court stood in judgment, and record books were unsealed. The Lord will be on his seat to judge the world according to the book. And the Lord will open the book of judgment, and he will give his judgment. Today's message is titled, When God Stretches His Arms, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. When God opens the book of life one day, your names, my names, and a lot of brothers' names, our names will be listed on this book of life. Then we shall stand before the Lord without fear and will be joyful. And the Lord himself will also with joy, and we shall have no blemish on us. And he will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share my happiness. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, please stretch your merciful hands to us. Lord, please stretch out your hands to forgive us. May you stretch out your arms to help us. May you use your hands to mold us. Because you are the one who make it, and we are the created beings. They will help us so that we can also have a pair of hands that will help others in need. Help and make our pair of hands that will be able to comfort others. Sincerely, we look forward to your coming again. Plenty of Christians are waiting for you to return in a glorious moment. For you are going to come back in strength and in a glorious situation, a glorious way. And we look forward to your righteous judgment. Lord, we thank you